Our psalm this morning is from Psalm 31. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. I have been forgotten like the one who is dead. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side. But I trust in you, O Lord. My times are in your hand. Make your face shine on your servant. Our epistle reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2. Have the mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Due to the length of this morning's Gospel, you may be seated. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he heard that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him. And he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treating him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, they sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. After examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that have never bore and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And Jesus said, and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was a day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When John the Baptist was imprisoned, it raised a whole bunch of questions among the people because they liked John and he was spreading the word of God. But now he was in jail and they really couldn't understand it. So Jesus addressed their misunderstanding by asking them some questions. What did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind, floating on the shifting cultural sands, or telling people what they wanted to hear, or just a weak, fickle man? Or did you go out to see a man dressed in soft clothing, like the nobility and the royalty, a person of power and prestige? Did you go out to see a prophet, or maybe a mere prophet? John was so much more. He was strong in his ministry. He stood up to the religious leaders. He confronted Herod's adultery. He wore the clothes of a prophet, you know, the camel's hair clothing. He was preparing the way for the Lord, Jesus, that is, announcing that God's kingdom was breaking forth. He was a prophet, but more than a prophet. He fulfilled prophecy. He was the messenger to come. He was the Elijah who was coming. This is who John the Baptist was. And many missed his importance or were just looking for certain things out of John. But John pointed to the Messiah, the Savior, the one promised long ago. And what this means is that those who heard John the Baptist should have known who Jesus was. And they did, sort of. Enough that they came out to line the roads. But what were they coming to see? Now the scene is pretty amazing. You've got all these crowds coming. They're lining the street. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming from Jerusalem and Judea. They followed Jesus up from Bethany where he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So all these crowds are gathering on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And they're waving their palm branches. They've got them out. They're waving them. They're marking the way for Jesus to enter. They lay their cloaks on the road there for Jesus. Now, what were they expecting? Maybe they were expecting a great teacher. And sure enough, Jesus was a great teacher. Remember some of the things he said about himself. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd." He taught the woman at the well. He fed the 5,000 and he raised the dead like Lazarus. So he had great teachings. He was a miracle worker. Maybe that's what they were expecting. He was a miracle worker. Now, was Jesus these things? Yes, he was. I just gave you some examples, right? And so maybe the crowds were expecting more wine, more food, more raising people from the dead. Or maybe more than that, they were expecting someone who would come in and take care of the Romans and get rid of them so that they wouldn't be under Roman occupation or oppression anymore, and the land could be returned to its glory and return Israel to prominence. There are a lot of expectations for Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Well, here he comes. He's coming into Jerusalem. It's a really exciting moment. The palm branches are out. What were they looking for? What Jesus are we looking for? And I ask it in all seriousness because people see a lot of different things in Jesus. Some see a prophet. Well, he prophesied some things that came true, like he prophesied that the temple would be destroyed, and in 70 AD it was. He prophesied about his death and resurrection. Those certainly came about. So he's pretty good at prophesying. Some see a great teacher. They like his moral teachings. You know, the Sermon on the Mount and his teachings about anger and how that's almost like murder and taking oaths and going the extra mile and turning the other cheek. We like those teachings about Jesus. And he defined what it meant to be unclean. It wasn't a matter of what we ate. It's a matter of what we say and do. What comes out of the mouth is what makes someone unclean, Jesus said. So these are all wonderful teachings, and they're teachings that we certainly need. So he is a great teacher. We should learn to emulate Jesus. So some see Jesus as a great liberator. He ate with sinners and tax collectors. He was a champion for the down and out. He offered hope to the hopeless. And he lifted up those who weren't, you know, part of the ruling class or the popular people or whatever. And there are many today who need liberation. The poor and the downtrodden, those caught up in religious warfare, the outcast, caste, minority groups, it goes on and on. But what Jesus are we looking for? All these things I mentioned are nice about being a prophet or a teacher or a liberator. He's all of these things. And we would do well to follow his example. But merely following his example isn't going to get us closer to God, for our problem is far deeper. And it turns out that getting close to God begins with Jesus. Jesus is a great liberator, but not in a worldly sense. We may not be released from tyrannical rule in this world. We may not be freed of the oppression of tyrannical rulers or authoritarians or Republicans or Democrats or whoever. Because it's a different problem from which we need liberation. And this is why Jesus came into Jerusalem. Well, again, the crowds are excited. They got their palm branches out there. They're waving them. They're shouting at the top of their lungs, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There was great anticipation as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And then over the hill, they could see him coming. Oh, there's the head of Jesus. He's coming in. The prophet, the great teacher, the liberator. Here he comes. On a donkey? Where's the war horse? He's got no army with him. He's on a donkey? Yes, a donkey. An animal of peace. There was going to be no confrontation with Rome. No political coup, bloody or otherwise. No immediate liberation from oppression. Because Jesus came for a different reason, and maybe one that the crowds weren't anticipating. One that they may not have even imagined. And one that would maybe disappoint, at least for a while. Jesus came into Jerusalem to die. And maybe that's not what we're looking for in Jesus either. But it's the Jesus that we absolutely need. For without Jesus, the teachings don't really matter, and there's no liberation, because the liberation we need is liberation from sin. Sin separates us from God. He won't tolerate it. He can't be in the same place where there is sin. And he casts out the sinful. Just look what happened in the Garden of Eden. And nothing we can do can fix the problem. We might try to control our anger and let our yes be yes and our no be no and go the extra mile and turn the other cheek, but we'll never do it perfectly. We'll never do it without ulterior motives. We'll never do it without wanting something in return, even if it's just a little bit, which means that we are hopeless before God. And so Jesus rides into Jerusalem to die. The crowds didn't get it. Some of those people who greeted Jesus with the hosannas may have been part of another crowd that vilified Jesus and called for the release of a murderer instead of Jesus and shouted all the more, "Crucify." The disciples didn't understand either, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't get it until after the resurrection. The people were looking for glory. But Jesus was bringing suffering because he was bringing the cross. But it was the cross of salvation. This was God's plan. And that's the reality of Palm Sunday. Now, we started off on a very festive note, right, with the palm branches and all glory, laud, and honor. And it's all wonderful stuff. But at the end of the service, it will be a bit of a different mood, one that's going to be exemplified by our final hymn, a hymn with a beautiful yet haunting melody. And in this hymn, Paul Gerhardt imagines this conversation between the Father and his Son. And the Father begins saying, "Go forth, my Son, and free my children. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but they will share the fruit of your salvation. And the son responds, saying, yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I will do what you have asked. This is why the son comes, to accomplish our salvation. But it is salvation that runs through the cross, an instrument of pain and torture, a death too hideous even to contemplate. This is the Jesus who rides into Jerusalem. The hymn writer continues as we ponder, O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the world's foundations. But we have this confidence. Lord, when your glory I shall see, as your own bride, I will stand beside you. You see, the glory does await in the eternal kingdom of God. But in this world, we continue to ponder the cross. Because Jesus suffered on the cross, however, we are liberated from sin. God will receive us, and we have this confidence through our faith in Jesus and by virtue of our baptism. And one day we will be liberated from this world, from disease and death, from worldly oppression, even from Satan. But that time is still to come. In the meantime, we live in the shadow of the cross of the one who triumphantly came into Jerusalem, the cross of the one who died for all sin, the cross that even now brings us peace by the forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. So, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.